today as we come to the table.
If you were told today that you were going to be given all authority in the earth and have all the money of the earth and everything belonged to you, what's the first thought that would come in your mind? You're kidding. I've won the world. I never knew there was a lottery like that. But now I own it and everybody's money and all things, and I have all power and can make all decisions for every nation. Where's some feet I can wash? It's the last thing we'd be thinking of. We wouldn't be thinking about serving others. We'd be thinking about what? Serving ourselves. What can I do first? My goodness. I mean, sure, I want to give some to charity and help some people out, but woo, I've been wanting that car forever. And to have a house like that, and wow, I mean, this is our human nature. It's how we are.
What if you were told you could have everything? Unlimited power, wealth, and control over all things on Earth. It's easy to imagine ourselves taking it all for our own benefit, right? On the other hand, Jesus, who holds all authority as King of the universe, chose to serve others. When he had every reason to take, he gave. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark reminds you that true greatness comes from serving others, not from self-indulgence. It's in serving that we truly reflect the heart of Christ. Jesus humbled himself and washed his disciples' feet. Today, consider how you can serve others and reflect Christ's love in everything you do. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
They walked in the streets. They were always getting dirt on their feet. It was a very normal thing at the end of the day to wash your feet. And they would have servants and slaves to do that. As a matter of fact, I didn't know this until studying this week, but in some instances, the children actually washed the feet of the parents. So we're starting something new at Calvary Chapel Knoxville. Just kidding. It was part of a family ritual that everyone did. They just did it because it was something that, you know, there's something about having your feet dirty. You just feel dirty all over. Have you noticed that? When my feet are dirty, it's like I have trouble going to bed at night. If my feet are dirty, you're not working or something, you know your feet are dirty, you're running around the yard barefooted or whatever type thing. You need to clean your feet off before you go to bed because it just feels dirty. And plus it would be anyway. But there's something about when your feet are washed, you feel clean all over. I don't know what that is. If the rest of me can be dirty, but if I clean my feet, I feel clean all over. I think there's something the Lord's doing there, even in a spiritual picture, saying, look, this is what it's like in the spirit realm. And again, we'll get to that more in a moment where the Lord begins to wash their feet. But the key is here is he was willing to wash the feet of those that maybe they didn't all even agree with each other. The Lord loved them all, but he was teaching them, look, you got a lot of different people here. Serve them all. Serve them all. Some you'll like more than others. Some you may struggle to like. But love each other. It's a choice that you make. And so the Lord loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now notice this, it's interesting. Satan having already put in Judas's heart. There are several things to note here. First of all, it tells us in another place that this happened during the meal. Now, Satan was already working on Judas. Don't get me wrong. No doubt working on him the whole time. He'd already gone to speak to the Sadducees and Pharisees. How can I betray him? So Satan was working, but Satan hadn't really put it in his heart to solidify the betrayal. He was planning and he was thinking, but now it's like, this is time. It was during this time of Jesus serving him and loving him and spending time with him that he put it and solidified it in his heart. Now you're going to betray him. Wow. And what a time to do it. Again, the time where Jesus is showing the most love and care of him. And what does he do? This is where he solidifies in Judas's heart, which is interesting to me because, again, when you think about the Last Supper and you think about Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper, you see Jesus and all the guys there, which, by the way, it wouldn't have been at a long table like that anyway. It was a U-shaped, they called it a triclinium. It was a U-shaped thing where they would sit around the edges and kind of lean back and recline on these couches and reach out with the right hand and eat, and they kind of leaned on each other, and that's how John was able to lean on the Lord's, you know, back on his breast and ask him a question and all this. That was the setting of this. But here's what's amazing. Note this. When they were gathered together to hear from God and to learn from God, there was somebody else gathered there with them. Because if Satan put this in Judas's heart during the meal, guess who else was at the Last Supper? Now, I find that very interesting. And how powerful I think it would have been for Leonardo, I call him by a first name basis, I don't know if you guys, how you feel about it. If he had done a picture of Satan there standing behind Judas in the Last Supper picture, it would have been even more powerful. Because that's what was happening. Jesus was gathered with his guys, and there's Satan. Guys, it's not unlike today. Now, I doubt Satan's here today. The Bible says Satan can be in one place at one time. Wait, there he is. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, guys, what are you pointing to me? No, anyway. Don't get a complex. I'm being silly. The bottom line is he can't be but in one place at one time. One place at one time. And there are a lot more important places to be in the world than right here, right now. But it doesn't mean the demonic realm can't be messing with us. You know, I find it interesting that when you see Jesus going to church, synagogue, the demons would cry out. What does that say? Demons go to church? Yeah, they do. Why would they do that? Why would the demonic realm want to be here today messing with you guys? Number one, to get your mind off of what God wants to say to you today. Because he doesn't want you to hear what God has for you, because he doesn't want your life to change. If you already know the Lord, he knows he can't take your soul, but he can stop you from being useful. Don't be a servant. This guy's crazy. You're busy enough. Ignore him. But it might be that maybe some of you don't even know the Lord, and they're saying, don't pay attention to this guy. Forget this. You know, this religious stuff is for the birds. Forget it. Pray against it. Say, Lord, rebuke the enemy off of my mind right now. Help me get focused in where I need to be. Look, as your pastor, sometimes the enemy will try to interfere with my thought process. I mean, even during the worship time, stuff will pop in my mind. Like, where'd that come from? I wasn't thinking that. And it's not always something bad. It might even be something fun that I'm thinking about. Oh, that'll be fun. What are you talking about? Think about Jesus. I don't want to think about something fun right now. I can do something fun later. This is the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. So the enemy's very wise in the way he does things. And he gets us distracted. So recognize when you see that happening, get your mind back on the Lord. Focus back on the Lord, because Satan certainly makes himself available, or his minions, so to speak, make themselves available when it comes to God's people gathering together. That's exactly what's happening here. He put it in Judas's heart. Notice it says, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. There's so much here, guys. First of all, I want you to notice this. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things, that is, he's the ruler of all the universe. He has all power and all authority. He's about to ascend back up to heaven and sit on the throne where he will rule it all. Everything's there. And why do I emphasize this? Because the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit wants you to know the context of what he's about to do. Here's the point. When Jesus realized he was the greatest in all the universe and would be for eternity, here's the first thing he did. He said, I'm going to wash their stinky feet. Wow. If you were told today that you were going to be given all authority in the earth and have all the money of the earth and everything belonged to you, what's the first thought that would come in your mind? You're kidding. I've won the world. I never knew there was a lottery like that. But now I own it and everybody's money and all things, and I have all power and can make all decisions for every nation. Where's some feet I can wash? It's the last thing we'd be thinking of. We wouldn't be thinking about serving others. We'd be thinking about what? Serving ourselves. What can I do first? My goodness. I mean, sure, I want to give some to charity and help some people out, but... woo, I've been wanting that car forever. And to have a house like that, and wow, I mean, this is our human nature. It's how we are. I love the fact that when Jesus, the Holy Spirit emphasizes, now he knew he was the top of everything. He thought about us. He said, I want to serve Mark. I want to serve the people at Calvary Chapel. I want to wash their feet. I want to show them that I love them. And I'm not just doing it to be an example. I'm doing it because I mean it, Jesus would say. He loves us. This is my bride. I want to minister to my bride. I want to serve my bride. I want to minister to her. What a beautiful example. Shocking if you really think it through and realize the contrast and the context that it's set in here. He chose to lower himself, not only to serve us, but he chose to lower himself to serve us in the most menial of ways, washing someone's feet, something that needed to be done, but was done typically by the slaves or the servants. And yet Jesus says, you know what? No, this is what I want to do. God in human form decided to take the lowest position to serve the lowest need of mankind while he was here, knowing that he was over all things. If he chose to do that, guys, we have no excuse. Nobody here can say, you know what? Well, for me, you know, I and whatever. No, we need to be serving. And we need to not be shaken. You know, I think the true measure of a person in where they are in humility and their service for the Lord is when you find someone that the world would see as important, but they're serving, and nobody even knows they're serving. Nobody even knows it. You know, I think that one of the men that God used the greatest in our generation, or the one before it, Pastor Chuck, and of course we're involved in Calvary Chapel, so I know him the most, but God has used Calvary Chapels all over the world. God, as a matter of fact, God used the Calvary Chapel to bring in what we know as the modern contemporary worship, Maranatha music and all that. Pastor Chuck started all that. A lot of people don't know that, because he didn't go around saying that. He didn't go around being, I want to tell you what I did. He never said a word. He just lived it and loved the Lord and served the Lord. And here's a man who had tremendous great influence around the world. Around the world, thousands of churches and all the influence and people looking to him and the power. And here's what would happen at the pastor's conferences, when all the other guys went to lunch, you could peek in the sanctuary and nobody would be in there but Pastor Chuck. And guess what he's doing? Nobody's there. He's not doing it for anybody. He's walking around picking up our cups and our wrappers that we threw on the floor. And when you see a man doing something like that, you're going, wow, he gets it. And he wasn't trying to impress anybody. God wasn't impressed. God knew what was going on. He did it because that's who he was. And I'm not here to lift up Pastor Chuck. That's not my point. But there are many servants throughout history that have truly gotten it. He was one of them that really got it. Guys, if we get it, if we understand that Jesus is walking around the sanctuary, picking up trash and scraping gum off the parking lot, that's our Lord. What about us? Ooh, I would never touch that. Really? Jesus did. So we have to challenge ourselves. Am I really a servant? Am I willing to do the least to the greatest? Whatever needs to be done is what the Lord would do. And that's what the Lord's calling us to do, whatever needs to be done. And notice here, this is the first thing that we need to recognize. Notice, look at verse 4. He rose up from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. There's several things to note here. And again, I told you I'd give you some practical steps. And if I didn't tell you, I'm telling you now. The first practical step to being a servant is you've got to recognize the need. The Lord looked around. He said, you know what? We've all got dirty feet. And there wasn't one single disciple that washed anybody's feet in that room. The lesser always served the greater in that culture. And you were always supposed to have feet washed when you came into a new location. That's just what they did. It was common courtesy of that day. Hard for us to understand that, but that was common courtesy of that day. Here's my point. The Lord purposefully did not wash everyone's feet at the beginning. And now he's in the meal and they're all there. One of those guys should have offered to wash feet. Somebody should have done it. Nobody did it. And all of a sudden, the Lord gets up now and begins to do it. Think how shocked they would have been. Now, what I love about Jesus, and I wish I could be more like Jesus, but he didn't look at him and go, oh, I just was waiting to see. Not one of you guys even offered to wash anybody's feet. Not one of you. Now, let's talk for a minute. You kind of feel like Barney Fife. Here at the Rock, now here's how, you know, whatever. He just got up. He said, I'm not going to tell you how much you failed. I'm not going to tell you what great of a servant I am. I'm just going to do it. And he got up and girded himself, getting ready to wash their feet. Can you imagine the shock in their eyes, in their heart, looking at Jesus going, what's he doing? I can imagine in my mind, I'll live these things out. Looking around, what's he doing? He's gonna wash our feet, you're kidding me. And they're all thinking, oh, we should have done that. But now he's gonna do that, and this is really awkward, okay? Oh, how do we handle this? What do we do? This is the setting. So number one, if you're taking notes mentally or any other way, the first thing, if you're gonna be a servant of the Lord, recognize the need. And if you don't recognize the need, pray and say, God, show me what needs are around me that I could be serving in. I don't really see a need. Looks like they've got plenty on the worship team. I think the kids' ministry is probably full. Everybody's serving in women's ministry, men's ministry. There are plenty of kids yet. Wait a minute. You need to say, God, where's the need? What would you have me do? What do you want me to be involved in? And then let God lead you in that, and God will. And so he does that. But notice then after that, after he recognizes the need, this is your number two. Again, if you're taking notes, the second thing in practical servanthood is he rose from supper. He rose from supper. Notice this. That is the bottom line is, once we recognize the need, now we get up and do something. Rise up. You know, we don't just sit back and go, oh, somebody needs to do that. Somebody needs to take care of that. We're somebody. We're somebody. I remember one time with one of my daughters, I was teaching, I said, nobody do this. Nobody do this. Nobody do it. And so the camera wasn't running, I don't think, or they didn't hear part of the conversation. It's one of those family films. And then right afterwards, I didn't even know what it was. And I told the girls not to do it. They were all little. And Abby did whatever it was I said not to do. And I'm on film going, Abby, you're nobody. And what I meant was, I'm talking to you too. That's what I meant. But it sounded like on the video, her daddy just told her she's nobody. But again, you're somebody. You're somebody. Somebody needs to do it. You're somebody. Step up. Step up to the plate. If you see the need, step up and say, God, how can I serve in that need? You know, a lot of times God will reveal the need to you because he wants you to step up and do it. And you're waiting for somebody else to. Why don't we have a ministry that blah, blah? How come somebody doesn't? And God goes, I've been waiting. Really? Yeah, you're the one. Oh, should have kept my mouth shut, right? God may be speaking to some of you this morning saying, you're the one. I've called you to do it. You need to do it. So you need to rise up. Jesus took action. He rose up and got going. But notice also, and this is key, before he started serving, he laid aside the garment that he was wearing and put on something different. Here's the third thing I want to encourage you when it comes to service, and that is this. You need to lay aside the old ways of the world and put Christ on. Lay aside the old garments and say, Lord, you know what? I've been walking long enough this way in the world. I'm going to walk with you and in you now. Because if you're not willing to lay aside the things you're doing that you know are wrong, God's never going to be able to use you. You can be saved. You know the Lord. You're in the kingdom. But you're holding on to these things that you know are wrong, these sins you need to let go, and you're continuing to do that. And God says, I want to use you, but I can't use you until you lay that garment aside and put on a new garment. And that's the point. You have to do that. It says in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul exhorting the Ephesians, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, notice you have to take something off, but you put on something else, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. If you're going to be used as a servant for the Lord, you got to lay aside the stuff that's hindering you. The weights that so easily beset, as the Bible says, and say, now I'm going to serve the Lord. Here we go. It's time to do this. I'm make a choice. I'm moving, no longer living the way I've been living. I'm moving forward. And if you do that, God will give you the power to do it. That's the Lord we serve. And so I love this here too, because notice he wrapped himself in a towel. The next thing to notice is he put himself in the attire of a servant or a slave. The slaves would wrap themselves in towels so you could identify them as a slave. And they would use the towel to do whatever they needed as far as cleanup and whatever service they were doing. And now we see the Lord again having all this position and authority saying, you know what? I'm going to take on the form, the visible form of a servant. I'm going to do the things necessary to be a servant. And I'm going to show you that I'm prepared and I'm ready. And this is another thing that we have to do, guys. If we're going to be used by the Lord, here's the next thing to take note of. You've got to be ready to be used. You're never going to be used by the Lord if you don't gird on the towel. Mark, what do you mean? You've got to get ready. You got to put yourself in a position where you can be used. Last week, we talked about one of the main areas in being a servant is availability. If you're not available, you can't be used as a servant. So you look at your life, you find out, God, what can I do to rearrange my life so that I'm not so busy, so that I can be available, and then you get ready. And if you're ready, the Lord can call on you. And when the Lord calls on you, you step forward in servanthood. That's how it works. And I love this whole picture here, what he was about to get down and wash their feet. Guys, this is something that, you know, again, Judas was still there. Judas hadn't left yet. He didn't leave till after this. Jesus even washed the feet of his betrayer. Wow. What a picture of love. What a picture of brokenness. What a picture of humility to say, you know what? This guy hates me, but I'm still going to serve him. And why would he do that? Because it's his kindness, the Bible says, that leads us to repentance. Now, we'd love to see that and say that Judas repented. He didn't. But Jesus was giving him every chance. I'm loving you, Judas. I'm loving you. I'm even washing your feet. You know, when he came to Judas, you have to think when he came to Judas, they looked at each other. And they both knew. Judas knew what was in his heart. And he had no doubt he knew Jesus knew what was in his heart. Can you imagine how that would have felt? Looking at the Lord and washing your feet and going, I'm about to turn you in and have you crucified. And not saying a word. And then letting him do it. Wow. And the Lord knowing that and still doing it. I wonder, even if he's be washing his feet, you know, it's like, well, I'm supposed to do this, so you to wash your feet. Oh, is that sharp? Sorry, Judas. You know. Not only did Judas not recognize any difference in the way he did it, none of the other disciples did. You know, he washed Judas's feet rather roughly. Did you notice that? I don't know. Yeah. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. He just loved him. And he went on. Gets to the garden. Remember later on that evening, gets to the garden. Judas leaves from there and goes and turns him in. We'll get to that later. Not today, but later. Shows up at the garden. And the first thing he says to him is what? Friend, why have you come? They both knew why he came. Jesus wanted to be his friend. Judas had made up his mind he already wasn't going to be. Guys, this is God's love. It transcends anything we understand in the natural realm and even any emotions that we might have in a natural way. His love is supernatural. He did it anyway. This is what he wants us to do, to love regardless of feelings and to love regardless of what we know or don't know and to serve, serve, serve. That's what the Lord calls us to do. took the towel, girded himself. Look at verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. That's what the Lord does. He washes us. And to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Notice he poured the water in the basin, began to wash their feet. What's the next step in servanthood? Not rising up and getting ready, but actually doing it. He actually did it. He didn't just get ready for it. He actually started washing feet. It's like, you know what? I've been waiting. I've been knowing I need to step out and serve, and I'm just going to do it. Listen, God is speaking to some of you this morning. I know that because how he's orchestrated the last 2 weeks. He's saying to some of you this morning, go for it. It's time. You've waited long enough. The kids are old enough now. They don't need you as much. The job is lessened off. You're not as busy as you were. It's time. Step forward and serve. And God will let you know when that time is. He calls all of us to do it, but I understand and I recognize there are different seasons, but the Lord gives us the example by saying, do it, and he was prepared to do it when the time came, as we talked about. It says, then he came to Simon Peter. So he's working his way around the room, and finally he comes to Simon Peter, and here's Peter watching this whole thing, processing it in his mind, thinking, this is crazy. We should be washing his feet. We should have washed everyone's feet. How am I going to handle this? He comes to Peter, and Peter, again, being very emotional and very passionate and very vocal, Lord, are you washing my feet? Again, in other words, only slaves do this. This is not right culturally. You're the Lord. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Now, this is key here. What he's saying is, it wasn't about washing feet. If it was about washing feet, he wouldn't have said, you don't understand this now. I mean, it's pretty clear, washing feet, everybody understands that. You're washing feet. No, he's making a point. It's not about washing feet. It's about serving one another, whatever that means. Now, there are those today that still feel like we're supposed to, maybe in some kind of church rituals, wash feet and all that. I don't have a problem with that. If somebody wants to do that, there's nothing wrong in it, and it can be very humbling and a very sweet ceremony done in the right context or whatever the case might be, but that's not what he's asking us to do. He's not saying you're supposed to be washing everyone's feet. He's making a point. He's saying, you'll understand later what I'm doing. I'm giving you an example. Serve each other and serve in the most menial ways. Do it. It can be a very practical way. You're mowing your grass, and you know what? You got time, and you just kind of pour out into your yard of your neighbor, and you mow their grass, and they come home and their grass is mowed. I'm like, why'd you do that? You know what? God just wanted me to show you his love today. He loves you. Put it in my heart, so I did it. You know, doesn't it be anything fancy? Wow, it makes an impact. You're being a servant. You just washed your neighbor's feet. That's what that means. And so the Lord says, you'll understand this later, Peter. You don't understand this now, but you're going to understand there's a deeper meaning to this. You need to let me do this. Now watch what Peter does. Peter says, you will never wash my feet. You know, again, I love Peter's zeal. And there's probably going to be pride issues and other things going on, but a lot of it is just this seems so wrong. And Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter, you can't be my follower if you don't let me wash you. And again, what a truism that is for us. If we don't let the Lord wash us, we can have no part in him. We have to allow the Lord to change us and the Lord to wash us. He says, you know, there's no part. You know, Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now here comes that passion of Peter again that you've got to love. Again, he made lots of mistakes, but look at this zeal. Just dunk me. I'll take it all. If that means that I want you so much, Jesus, whatever it means to have all of you do it. I love that heart.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table. The voice you've just heard is none other than that of Pastor Mark Kirk. Come to the Table is an outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Mark is currently teaching verse by verse through the New Testament book of John. This is one of the four gospel books of the Bible. What that means is that it's one of four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus while here on earth. John brings up many miracles and proofs of Jesus being both God and man. Jesus met with people. He got tired, he cried, and he had a biological family. But he also performed miracles, raised people from the dead, and fed a crowd of people with one boy's small portion of food that multiplied. These two worlds colliding between his humanity and being the God of the universe can be hard for us to wrap our minds around. But John's eyewitness accounts of these happenings make it all the more convincing. To listen to more teachings like this one, head over to thewaymedia.net. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Find service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page to find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we want you to know that we're thankful for you, and we pray that these messages make an impact in your daily life. Join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach more about the life and ministry of Jesus. There are so many things we can gain from following Jesus' example that he laid out for us in his word. That's all for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.